Welcome to Under the Radar, a show about independent iOS app development. I'm Marco Arment.
And I'm David Smith. Under the Radar is usually not longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. So for today's topic, it's going to be a bit more kind of a squishy in the feelings, non-specific, non-technical topic, which is one of these slightly funny things to say because I've heard from a variety of people over the years. Some people listen to Under the Radar for the technical, like deep in the weeds, Xcode stuff. And there are people who only listen to Under the Radar for the squishy, emotional, businessy, kind of philosophical side of things. So if the latter group is you, this is an episode for you. And specifically, this is something that I find a podcast is a useful venue to talk through, sort of feelings you have. We've often referred to this show as, our fortnightly group therapy session. And it's a useful tool just in general to talk out feelings you're having because it helps them to not be these kind of amorphous specters in the back of your mind that can, sort of be lurking and, the amorphousness of them makes them feel bigger and scarier. And so if you can instead try and turn that into words, you can address it and you can think about it and you can have strategies to address and be, improve your perspective on them. And so specifically, there's something that I've been feeling, and I was going to say recently, but it's not even particularly recently. It's just like generally for a while, is that it's been a trickier thing to be as excited about being an Apple developer. And that's for so many reasons. And this is some of the things over the DMA last year or all kinds of other Apple policies. Or in some ways, it's never been that easy to be an Apple developer, with all the app review dramas over the last almost two decades. It's been something that I've been feeling more acutely. It's been something that I've been aware of that I don't feel as excited about some aspects of my job and the parts of it that are related to being an Apple developer specifically as much as I used to. That it used to be something that I was really genuinely excited about and I would get a lot of joy and satisfaction in my work as part, and that Apple, being an Apple developer as part of my identity was something that I was really proud of and really, it was meaningful to me. And it's the things I noticed that this year, the afterglow feeling of WWDC last year in 2024 was probably the shortest it had ever been. That I enjoyed it at the time and it was kind of cool and it was great. And then it's a week later, that sort of lovely feeling that I often would get after WWDC, which would often carry me all the way through to September, through the hard months of getting things ready. It was much shorter this year. And there's just that feeling. And it's I don't like that. I don't love that that's, obviously this is my profession. This is the thing that I've chosen to become an expert in and have spent literally almost two decades becoming, skilled at. And so it's not great if you don't have, sort of that sweet feeling about it as much anymore. And recently I've been trying to kind of put handles onto that feeling and to make it more specific rather than just this general feeling, because the reasons for that change, I think seem they're going to be continuing to exist and change, endlessly. And this is not a great show to dig into the topic du jour for why that may be tricky. This is not a politics show, or it's not really placed that it's a short form podcast. And so it doesn't really lend itself to that. But it is definitely a place where it's we can talk about the feeling. And specifically what I've ended up on is, I think what I realized is previously in my life, there's been, if you sort of imagine a Venn diagram with two circles, and there's a circle that's me and the things that are important to me and the things that I enjoy and the things that I'm good at and the things that I value. And you put all those in a circle. And in the early stages of my indie developer career, it felt like there was my circle and Apple's circle, and the two had a meaningful overlap. That they didn't overlap fully. It's not like all the things I cared about were things that Apple cared about. It's like the old thing that Apple cares about itself, its users, and then its developers, and that sort of in that order. And so given that developers was very big in my circle and that was, not in their circle very much, there was never a full overlap there, but it was a bigger overlap and a more meaningful overlap as a result. And recently, I think what I've been realizing is there's just been this slow shift of those overlaps where it feels like less and less the things that really value and are important to me matter as much to Apple as they used to. And whether they did or not, who knows? So much of these things are very kind of vibesy and perceptions and marketing and things that are not straightforward and not, you know, clear. And I think it's important to remember that like these things aren't straightforward and binary, whatever the kind of, as the dynamic shift, like sometimes it was you felt something that wasn't true, or sometimes it was true but you didn't feel it. Like all these things are very possible here. But as Apple's circle has shifted in my perception of it, I think what I, for a while, I was getting really bummed out because it felt like I could feel that drift, and that it felt like I was moving away from something that mattered to me. And I think that feeling on my side, when I was projecting it against myself that way, it felt bad. It felt like I was doing something wrong, or that something was changing in me that I didn't like. And I've had a lot of sort of, you know, wrestling with this, as you can probably tell, as I ramble on for, you know, nearly a third of the episode or whatever so far. That I realized that wasn't actually what was happening. That I think the things that mattered to me hadn't changed. My circle was fixed in this whole process. And the fact that Apple's circle, in my perception of it, was shifting away from it, it's like the reason that that affected me is because my circle was the same things that really mattered to me. And they were things that I cared a lot about. And so when it felt like the large organization that has tremendous control over my life and work was shifting away from those things, it, you know, it was meaningful. But my circle hadn't changed. My circle hadn't moved in this whole time and in this whole process, really. And if I instead find that I focus on those things, if I focus on the things in my circle rather than wherever Apple's projected circle happens to feel like it is right now, I felt a lot better. And it's been really helpful in the last few weeks since I really kind of codified this, you know, with that metaphor in my mind of the two circles really helped me for some reason. So that's part of why I wanted to share it here is if I can focus on my own circle and the things that matter to me, like things like I really care about making quality software that's well designed, that's accessible, that is useful, that does things in ways that improve people, my users' lives. Like I care a lot about that. And I care about doing that in a way that is, you know, sort of honest and moral. Like these are things that matter to me. And if I continue to focus on those, like my satisfaction goes up dramatically rather than be worrying about the degree to which those things potentially are not as valuable to the parent organization that, you know, sort of manages the ecosystem in which I live in. And I'm not saying they don't care about those things anymore, but at least the perception I get more recently is that there is a much more complicated interplay between all those factors. But like I said, if I focus on my own circle, like life has gotten a lot better, and it's made me more productive, and it's made me less distracted as a result, because that's ultimately the only part of this that I can control. The only part of this that I have agency over is it's like, well, what matters to me? What do I value? And if I focus on doing those things, like wherever whatever else is happening around me, like I'm much more stable and much more sort of whole as a result.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up because I have had a lot of similar feelings, and it was hard to kind of nail them down or be able to put them into words or solidify them. For me, it's not just Apple. It's actually I've been feeling more and more jaded or disappointed in the broad tech industry as a whole, like for a while now.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of it. This is kind of related to it just being a matured industry. Like it, you know, tech is just big business now, and big business is tech now. Like they're intertwined with each other so much now because the tech companies are so big and tech touches everything. And so we're just dealing with giant corporations now doing what giant corporations do. You know, a few minutes ago, you said the word the parental organization, referring to Apple, like over the ecosystem. That struck me because I think my relationship with Apple over time, such as it is, I mean, I think Apple thinks very little about me, but I think a lot about them.
And, sure.
So it's obviously very lopsided. But my relationship with them, I think it has served somewhat of a parental role in the past, in the sense that, like, and I think this is true for a lot of us, like that growing up as Apple fans or having this be a big part of what we focus on, who we are, how we identify, it is almost a parental style of relationship in the sense that, like, we look to them for guidance and for approval. We respect what they think and say and do. We respect what they make. We are fans of what they make. And then in some ways, we are seeking their approval. Like we want recognition. We want App Store features. I would love still, you know, someday to get an ADA. Like that's like my crowning, you know, achievement that I could possibly have professionally. But like, I think over time, what I have felt is, and forgive me, I'm not a psychologist, but what I have felt, I think would be somewhat similar to if you started having a like disappointment with who your parents are turning into. And maybe that's more serious than it has to be, but like the role that Apple has served for me, you know, emotionally and mentally, was more parental in the past. And these days, they're no longer able to do that, like it, for lots of reasons. I mean, you know, again, just the growth of everything being so big and so corporate and so honestly just kind of cynical and greedy in certain ways. A lot of this is political. A lot of it is policy. Apple, over time, and especially recently, they have gone from a parental figure in my mind, whether subconscious or not, into just a big corporation that I am decreasingly respecting. And it hurts. Like when you lose respect for someone you care about, that's a really hard thing to process, and that really shakes you. And I have lost a lot of respect for Apple over the last few years. For a while, that has manifested itself in just kind of like, you know, anger, frustration, you know, trying to change them into something better by advocating for better behavior and better decision making, which is futile. I mean, that's never going to work. it doesn't work. And that's, you know, I've learned that too, that like I'm not going to make them better by yelling about it on a podcast. So my relationship with Apple has shifted into, you know, from basically a parental figure that I was respecting and trying to please, into they're just the platform vendor. And for a while that was demotivating me. And I think to some degree it still is. I no longer am seeking an ADA. I no longer am getting excited about Apple's announcements nearly as much. I don't even know if I'm going to go to WWDC this year. Like I'm treating them just like basically the way they treat us. They are a resource to me. I use them to make money. They use us to make money. That's it. The relationship has been degraded to that. You know, a lot of days I kind of, you know, when I'm faced with the idea of, oh, I wonder if I want to work on Overcast today, it's like a lot of times the answer is no, I'm not feeling it because I'm so kind of, you know, getting so jaded and you know, lost so much respect for Apple. And I don't really want to support them in a lot of these ways. But then I come back to like, well, I still do love computers. And Apple makes the best computers. I still do love making software. And this is the place that I can make the best software. And this is the platform I can make it on. This is the language I can write it in. I still love Overcast as a product, and this is where this product is. This is where this product lives. So there are things I care a lot about still. It requires me to change my perception of my relationship with Apple from a more emotionally invested one to a more dry business one that, you know, I'm not going to carry water for them. If they, you know, if I get some message saying, you know, some email saying, come develop for the Vision Pro or whatever, like, that's not going to sway me. And I don't care how much you think it's going to change the world or whatever. Like, for me, it's becoming just a more straightforward, dry business relationship. And honestly, I mean, that's what it has been from Apple's point of view, I think, for the entire time. It just took me a while to realize what my role actually was and how small my role actually was. That sounds really cynical. That sounds awful. I think to a lot of people like that, this would sound really bad. And it's been hard to process. And I'm not fully on the other end yet. Like it still hurts to some degree for me to realize all of this and to try to internalize this. But I do think where I will end up is just a more sensible place for business. Like it is probably better in a business relationship for me not to have a parental style perceived relationship with the platform owner. Like it is less fun. It is less emotionally invested. And it's a very different style of relationship, But nevertheless, that is the relationship we have. So there is some value in recognizing that, like that this is the reality of this relationship. It has been the reality of this relationship for longer than I have realized it was the reality of this relationship, but it is nevertheless the reality of this relationship. So I can start to treat it accordingly. Like I can start to not invest in things for the fun of it that won't have an upside. So again, like, you know, Vision Pro, easy punching bag, maybe a bad example. But, you know, even stuff like, you know, any kind of new, you know, Apple intelligence tie-in, like, do I need to do that? Well, if Apple says I need to do it, that's going to have a lot less weight now. If my customers say that I should do it, that is what I need to be paying attention to. Or if it will benefit me in my life, if I will personally get satisfaction out of doing it, then that's something I can pay attention to. The shift in this relationship, what it does for me is it dramatically deprioritizes things that Apple asks us to do or thinks we should do. We start thinking more about what do we want and what do our customers want? Because what Apple wants, we no longer need to pay as much attention to because that relationship is no longer what it used to be.
So yeah, and I think something that you just said that really hit me well or was useful for me was the thinking of just like how these relationships change and evolve over time. And that is a natural and sort of inevitable part of anything, that it will change and develop and will not be the same thing that it was before. And that's difficult and painful and challenging when the thing you had before was nice and had positive aspects of it. And, you know, it's easier to let go of something if it wasn't working for you. But, you know, it's a funny thing when I think back to, I mean, you and I have been doing this a very long time. And I think that's useful. I mentioned that mostly just because I think it is, if you were starting out, you know, sometimes I talk to people who are more recently, you know, like who graduated from, you know, college a few years ago and are getting started in their, you know, iOS developer career. It's a very different world in some ways now, you know, in some ways, these are people who, you know, the App Store was only just like, you know, the App Store was launched when they were like four and their entire life essentially, you know, it's like, it's a wild thought what you have. Like these are people who exist and their perception of what things are and what they could be or what they might have been in the past. It's just different than you and me. Like I remember, I think part of the challenge here is because I lived through the period from the early, like maybe the first 6-7 years of the App Store where there was just such like you sort of almost like silly excitement about it being part of the next big thing. And it kept becoming the next, like even bigger and bigger over time that like it started off like, oh man, mobile apps are cool. And then it's like, no, mobile apps are everything. And it was really cool and fun to be like on the cusp of that wave as it just like crushed over the entire world and became so important and essential to everything. Like that was awesome. And that is not where we are now. Like you said, it is a much more mature, you know, situation than we find ourselves in. Like it is a much more mature thing. Like everything, there was the old thing of like, oh, there's an app for that. It's like now there really is an app for everything and probably 100 apps for everything. Like there are attributes and aspects of this that are just so mature and success is measured and sort of a result of things that are now not necessarily our specialty, that are like about business and about being slightly more cynical and slightly more focused on metrics and things that are, you know, aren't necessarily our focus. And that's, you know, and by that I mean, if we want traditional success, which we certainly want to some degree, in terms of like, new, you know, being highly downloaded or having lots of income, like those things become a little bit more cynical now than it used to be, that there really was a bit more of a meritocracy to things, that people were, you know, that if you were the best, you would have a much higher chance. Whereas now it's not really about necessarily the best. It's about the best marketing or the best acquisition or the best addiction mechanic in your application to pull people back into your app time and time again. Like there's things about this situation that are different, but that change, you know, and that evolution is tricky. And it reminded me of a situation I remember writing about this years. I mean, this was, I think, back in like 2014 or something, like, I mean, you know, almost 11 years ago. I remember when Facebook bought WhatsApp. And at the time, it kind of felt like the start of a new phase of the App Store, because it sort of changed into the App Store was changing from lots of small little fish into this kind of conglomerate phase where the big fishes were starting to, you know, acquire anything that had traction and, you know, sort of turning it from lots and lots of small players into fewer and fewer bigger players. And I think, I think that thought has certainly proved to be true, that there are fewer and fewer big players in the App Store, that it is, you look at the top downloaded list and the parent companies of each of those apps, and it's like three companies, that are the vast majority of app use on the iPhone. And so, in some ways, that's liberating, like in the sense of it's like I'm not even playing the same game they're playing. And like there was a time when I kind of was like where you as in smaller indie developer, you could really be playing the same game and have a reasonable expectation to be a player. Now it's like we have our own little worlds. And, you know, some of that is, you know, it's like it's easy and convenient for you and me in some ways because we have our own little worlds that we established much earlier on, and at times when it was perhaps easier to get those, you know, to establish a beachhead from which we could work from. But it's just different, and that evolution is the part that, you know, is weird and different. But it is kind of nice to, in some ways, it's also liberating to be like things have changed. Like things aren't the same as they were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever that is, and like being accepting of that change is helpful. I think I find it very helpful to me when it's like, yeah, things aren't going to be like they were back then. And the more I hold on to it, or the more that, you know, to your point about trying to like change Apple or whatever that might, you know, we might think about or look at, it's like the less we try and think in those terms, because like we're trying to reclaim something. It's just ultimately like going to be very counterproductive. But if instead it's just like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We're in a new phase, and that's difficult. And I think and I know many people in this community who've kind of gone through that feeling in a weird, painful way. And it's just really tricky and awkward and kind of icky sometimes. But like, there's also hope in that. Like there are things that haven't changed. There's, you know, like I love that I'm in a community of people who seem to care about the same things that I care about. Who, ask a question online, I'll get answers that are focused and kind of geared in that same direction. And like that culture, at least in the group of people who I tend to interact with, exists. And I think some of it may have originated in people, you know, who were copying Apple in a parental way, and in terms of like they were emulating that parent company. But I think in many ways that culture persists because it was not Apple. It was what they were projecting at the time. Like those values are still just as valuable now as they were when they were directly and obviously being generated from them. And so like we can just continue to focus on those things, and I think, you know, keep making cool stuff. And I don't know how long I'll be able to do this for. Like I wouldn't have expected this relationship in some ways to have lasted for 17 years, 18 years. Like it's a long time that this has gone on. And I hope, you know, I very much hope that there is, you know, a long career and path ahead of me doing this, because I do enjoy it. But I'm going to have to find my own joy inside of that, rather than, you know, being able to lean on the sort of having that be externally brought to me by the platform.
Yeah. And I think that is the key of like, you know, how we move forward, how we keep motivating ourselves and validating what we make is just without Apple. There's lots of other areas of tech where there is no parental organization, so to speak. Like there is no like obvious platform owner or source of that motivation and validation. Like when people make stuff on the web, there really is no web parent company. You know, so like if you're making good stuff on the web, who are you making it for? You're not making it for one company. You're making it for yourselves, your customers, maybe people you respect, people whose opinions you respect. So, and when you get validation, you know, where are you seeking that from? One big company? No, you're seeking it from like users and, you know, and people, other, you know, people you respect, people whose opinions you respect. And so that's where we have to, you know, where we're ending up now with Apple platform development, is that we need to be making things for our own reasons and seeking external validation outside of Apple. Because their validation, you know, if it's going to be something that we no longer seek, or that we no longer respect, or it's coming from a place that we no longer respect, we have to find our own motivation and make our own things. And so much of tech has worked that way that we know it's possible. We know, like, we can look around for tons of examples of, like, places where people make stuff not to please some big company, but for their own satisfaction and the satisfaction of their customers and users and, you know, and their kind of their circles. We are brought to you this episode by Sentry. Sentry are the people who help you avoid your mobile app being the one that gets deleted next. From getting deep context into crashes to seeing full insights into performance issues, Sentry is here to make sure your code doesn't suck. Fix what's broken faster and keep your app running smoothly with application monitoring built for mobile developers like us. You know, this can help you avoid things like your app breaking or stalling, you know, high latency, you know, lag when people tap controls. Maybe they start rage clicking and they hit the button 4 or 5 times and then a bug happens. This is all terrible for your app quality and your app's user experience, so it's important for us to have insights into what's going on with our apps out in the field. Sentry helps us do that, and it helps keep our users happy so they keep our app installed and they keep going back to it. So keep your mobile users happy. The great news is Sentry is totally free to use, so there's no reason not to check it out. And even better, as an Under the Radar listener, you can get 6 months of the team plan for free. Just click on the link in the show notes and use the code RADAR. That's 6 months of the team plan completely free at sentry.io/4/mobile, or click the link in the show notes, then use the code RADAR. Our thanks to Sentry for the support of this show and Relay. The other thing is, like, over time, tech changes, and we don't always go along for the ride. Tech has gotten way bigger over the course of my adult life. It used to be that I was more involved in lots of it, and over time, as it gets bigger, I've had to specialize and narrow the parts of it that I was really in or cared about or qualified to do, because it just gets bigger and bigger, and that's just it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm always having to narrow my focus, narrower and narrower and narrower, just to keep up, and that's okay too, and eventually, I will decide where tech is going. I'm not going, and that's when I will retire from tech. Like, that happens to all of us at some point, willingly or not. Like, eventually, like, you know, you mentioned the young people who were born in the App Store time. Like, yeah, eventually, we're going to be gone from this world, and they're going to be in it. And then the next generation will be in it. We don't have to always go where everyone goes. Like, we can decide, you know, during our working ages, like, we're going to be in this for a while. But, like, that won't be forever. Every time tech changes or grows, some people get lost along the way, and that's just part of it. That's a natural part of it. So, you know, eventually, the relationship that we used to think we had with Apple, eventually there won't be anybody left in the Apple ecosystem who even remembers that time or whoever felt that way. To them, it will just be like, yeah, well, that's the big company that gives us the developer tools, and they take a third of our money, and that's it. There will be no other perception of the relationship. So, you know, I think it's wise for us to kind of, you know, jump in and start the process now of that migration, because that's where it's going with or without us.
Yeah, and I think there's just something in that of just the fundamental reality of we have more agency than sometimes I think, at least I can say for myself, I have more agency than sometimes I give myself credit for. And I think the places I often find myself struggling is when I am unintentionally giving up that agency. And in this case, it was sort of like giving some of my identity and focus to a company rather than being self-directed. And part of that was just laziness. Part of that was just it was fun. And like, there's lots of things that go into that. And I think it's the reality of understanding that I have agency over what I think is important, what I value, what I do with my time, what I look at and, I mean, you know, sort of engage in. And I think there's still parts of Apple who care about those things too. And that's awesome. And like, I have interactions with people, you know, developer relations is an organization that generally seems to care still about a lot of those things. And a lot of the, you know, teams within Apple or the things that they put out, like, it's not that this, you know, relationship is like cut off and it's never going to work. But it's like, I think it's like realizing that I have the ability to, you know, understand what's important to me and the degree to which and the places where that overlaps with Apple, you know, focusing on my circle, where, you know, wherever Apple's circle happens to overlap is fine. And I will, you know, enjoy those parts when it align, but when they don't, I don't need to feel that like some part of me is deficient or out of step or, you know, in any way sort of impinged by that. And I think that's really productive. That's hopefully emotionally more healthy, and it's a reasonable way to stay motivated and, you know, keep doing this hopefully for a long time going forward.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.